Thanks for checking out the Long and Short of It podcast. You can find us on all good podcast platforms. Please consider following or subscribing. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back to the Long and Short of It podcast. The podcast where we discuss each of the games on the Metacritic Top 100 list. My name's Dan, and I'm joined by...
You've mixed up a little bit there. I wasn't expecting
that. I have.
But I'm Lawrence. Welcome to the podcast.
It's been a long time.
It's been...
Feels like it.
Two, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. And this episode is releasing on a Sunday, which is very rare.
Yes.
A rarity.
Like a shiny Charizard.
Like a shiny Charizard, that's right. But although this podcast isn't worth as much as a shiny Charizard, unfortunately.
No.
But 20p. Never mind. 20p. Yeah, maybe we could sell the rights to this podcast for 20p, I think. Get that. Get us. Probably isn't even enough for a Freddo these days.
That's probably 20p is probably generous.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we won't sell it just yet. Not yet. Are you well?
I'm okay. Are you well?
Yes, quite well.
Here we are, and here we are to discuss... A game.
Yes.
A game which is one of my selections for the 15 games that each of us have picked.
And it isn't the game that we announced last week, is it? Or last time?
It isn't. No. The 15 games that we selected that we're never, ever going to get through. That list of 15.
Yes, that one.
As you quite rightly alluded to, this is not Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. As you had predicted, you... thought you were going to run into some issues playing that game. You have now resolved those issues.
Yes.
Because you've bought a new laptop.
Yes. The amount of money that we've spent on this, podcast. Yeah. I've not really used it much, to be honest with you, because I've got a relatively decent library on Steam from when I used to play games like a few years ago, but... As I thought would be the case, trying to play Vampire the Masquerade on... I use a MacBook Pro most of the time, and you just can't game on MacBooks. It's one of the biggest downfalls of them, so I've had to go out and purchase a reasonably priced gaming laptop.
Yeah.
I've not broken the bank, but... Yes, so...
So that'll be a test run on it, won't it?
Probably. I've tried a few games on there, but they're like older ones. So
yeah,
I imagine it'll be fine.
Yeah, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines is also an old game, so
yeah, it'll be all right.
It will. That I know the laptop that you've got, and that laptop will smash that game.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
So yeah, that will be your test run. That is still in the pipeline. So
that'll be after the next game that we do.
Yes. So watch this space for that one. But today we're talking about a shorter game that we squeezed in there.
Mm.
Again, one of mine. It is Time Splitters Future Perfect. Now, I've been going on about Time Splitters since we did GoldenEye, really. Time Splitters Future Perfect released with a meta score, an average score of 84, and it released on various consoles. The version with the highest score was the PlayStation 2 version, which released in the year 2005. The game was developed by Free Radical Design, and it was published by EA Games.
Challenge everything.
So, as we usually do, we're going to talk about how the game was received upon release. And to do that, we have been picking a critic review and a user review. So, the user review is a more negative slanted review. Would you like to read to us from your pre-selected user review?
It's very short. It comes from a user called... it's like Menus, but instead of Menus, it's Memus. Sort of Memus, I don't know. But he's given it a 4. And Memus has said, a cheap Halo/Half-Life knockoff, full of time travel jokes and scenes that don't work. The gunplay is weak. And that review was released on the 17th of December 2023. But that's the only negative one that's on there. So, slim pickings today. But
that's interesting.
Yes.
I would say maybe he doesn't know the history of Free Radical, and actually the lineage that this game has, but we'll get into that.
Yes.
It's a very prestigious lineage. I'm going to read you two.
Okay.
One for humour and one more.
Not for humour.
Yeah, less for humour. Okay. So, from Four Fat Chicks, brilliant. Your favourite outlet, I believe.
My favourite outlet, that's right.
Not just one fat chick.
Four of them.
They gave the game a score of 100.
Okay.
And...
Realistically, that's 400.
400, yeah, from each of... I'm not even going to say it. It's safe to say this game has more monkeys than any other game except Ape Escape.
What?
There aren't just any monkeys either. Sorry, these aren't just any monkeys either. There are zombie monkeys, robot monkeys, mutant monkeys, lab monkeys, disco monkeys, ninja monkeys, and plain old throw feces at you monkeys. If you love monkeys, this game is for you.
All right.
And I do. I love monkeys, so...
Well, famously.
This game is for me.
That is for you. Well, that's a very kind review of Four Fat Chicks. Thank you, ladies.
And the next one... is Next Level Gaming with a score of 95.
Your favourite outlet.
Yes, correct. That is correct. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Future Perfect is the best FPS ever, but I will tell you that if you give me a choice between this game and any other FPS, including either Halo game, I'll choose to play Timesplitters.
Okay, interesting.
So, yeah, I thought quite a couple of rounded ones. One monkey-focused.
Yeah,
one another monkey-focused less monkey-focused.
Yeah, that's right. Thank God we never have to play Ape Escape. Or Super Monkey. Yes. Oh, maybe we should play Super Monkey Ball sometime. That's a good game.
Depends which one you pick.
Yeah, I don't know the difference between any of them. I just know they're fun. Oh, I've just thought of another game I can add to my list as well.
Relating to monkeys or just...
No, just weird Katamari Damacy.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's for your second lot of 15.
That is, potentially, yes. But yes, do continue before I went down.
Okay, so as we usually do, let's talk about history with the game. Do you have any history with Timesplitters, Free Radical Design, or anything along those lines? What's your experience with them?
What other games have Free Radical done? Because I imagine that I've played Free Radical games in the past. What are some of their famous games?
You probably haven't, actually. I believe they only released 4 games.
Okay, I'm just Googling it now.
So Free Radical released the original Timesplitters. It was a PS2 launch title.
Yeah, Timesplitters, Second
they
Sight.
They released... Yeah, oh, yeah, so 5 games. Timesplitters 2, which was a couple of years later, which is the very famous game. Future Perfect released in 2005, as we said.
Yeah.
Second Sight and the Haze. Final game, I believe, is Haze. Yes.
Yes, and then they apparently became another company, Crytek UK, in 2009.
Yeah, I don't think many of them.
I know why I know them. They were the ones that were heading up the cancelled Star Wars Battlefront 3 game.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because. Star Wars Battlefront 2, like the original one from 05, I think, was really, really popular and really good. And they that was done by, oh, what's the company's name? They had like a little gas mask as their logo.
Pandemic?
Pandemic Studios, yeah. And then they stopped working on them and Star Wars Battlefront 3 went to Free Radical, but it never came out. And there's been some like revealed content of it because it looked like it was going to be brilliant. But yeah, alas. So I'll be honest with you. I've heard of Timesplitters, obviously, as is always the case with this list. I've heard of things, but I've not played them. But being completely honest with you, I got Timesplitters mixed up. So when you were saying, "Oh, we're going to do a Timesplitters game," in my head, I was thinking of Time Crisis.
Okay.
So when I actually got the game for the podcast, I was really confused. Yeah, I was really confused that it wasn't like an arcade machine shooter. I didn't know anything about it. I just know that Timesplitters was a relatively prominent series in the early 2000s.
The history of Free Radical?
No, I don't know anything about them other than that they're from Nottingham.
Okay, so this is where I probably blow your mind a bit then. I mentioned the prestigious lineage of Free Radical, and I mentioned Goldeneye.
I'm guessing there are elements of Rare here.
Well, this is the team that made two of the greatest shooters in history.
Being
number
Goldeneye,
one, Goldeneye,
and the other one
number
being
two.
The other one that we played,
Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark, yeah.
So after Rare was taken over by Microsoft, basically those people that made those games, or the vast majority of them, split, and they formed Free Radical, and they released Time Splitters. Time Splitters 1 was a bit unfinished. They'd got the gameplay down, and it is gameplay that resembles that of Perfect Dark, but they hadn't fully formed the story mode, so
it
you
feels
just jump
like a
from
lot
level.
Of things,
like, yeah, and you just jump. You jump from level to level in Time Splitters 1, and what you do is you have to reach a certain point in the level, pick up the time crystal, and escape the level. And obviously, you've got spawning enemies along the way, so it's very arcadey in that way. The big draw of Time Splitters was the multiplayer, as with GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. And that was its bread and butter. Time Splitters 2 came along, and it had... And to be honest, I'll be open here. There was a big toss-up between putting Time Splitters 2 and Future Perfect on the list. And I'm not sure if I made the right decision. In some ways, I think I did. Because I feel that Future Perfect is the more accessible game.
Mm-hmm.
But Time Splitters 2, I think, is the better game. So I'm actually replaying Time Splitters 2 at the moment with Becca, my girlfriend.
Your fiancé?
Fiancé, correct. Yes, I'm not used to saying that yet, even though it's been...
it's been like a
it's
year.
Been, it just feels strange to say. It's yeah, just a strange word, isn't it? But
your finance.
Yes, my memuse.
That's it, your memuse.
So that, to be honest, is probably going to be on my second lot of 15.
Right.
Because it really bridges the gap between Perfect Dark and Time Splitters Future Perfect. I think you'll recognise a lot more of the traits of GoldenEye and Perfect Dark in Time Splitters 2 than you do in Time Splitters Future Perfect, although the shooting is intact.
Something that in that review by Memuse said, he said that it's a cheap Halo / Half-Life knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that it's a cheap knockoff of those games, but you can definitely tell that there is stuff drawn from those games, as well as
yeah.
from games like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. It feels like a bit of a homage to those games. And I when you said that it was ex-Rare employees, part of me was thinking, I was like, oh, okay, maybe there are people there that also worked for Steam and for whatever the company was that made the original Halo. I can't remember because I've changed.
Bungie,
yeah. But, yeah, doesn't shock me.
Your two key developers here were Dr. David Doak, as in the Dr. Doak from GoldenEye, and Stephen Ellis, who again is of
Dr.
GoldenEye
Doak's
fame.
Friend.
Yeah, so we'll talk about what Future Perfect is and where it's changed and kind of how it does or doesn't resemble other FPSs at the time. Time Splitters 2 really bridges that gap and when we get to that, which we will do, because I think it is a solid pick for my second 15, you'll see a lot more traces of that GoldenEye Perfect Dark blood. So my history with this game goes back to when I first got the PS2. Actually, no, it doesn't. It goes back further. I got this on the GameCube. So I got Time Splitters 2 on the GameCube very early on when I got my GameCube. And played it with my brother. And we got stuck at a certain level. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. The two-player is great. Or the multiplayer is great. And then when I went back and played Time Splitters 1, and that game, it is still fun, but it really lacks that story element. And Future Perfect, I was really excited for when it came out. I bought it on the PS2 when it came out, and I remember I've got really clear memories of going back to my house with one of my friends, and we just started running through this campaign. We probably got 4 levels in, but we were messing around. We were using the gravity gun. We were driving the vehicles, running each other over. It was an absolute blast, and I put a hell of a lot of time into Future Perfect back then. Mm. The multiplayer, I completed all the challenges in the challenge mode. I was creating maps in the map maker, all elements that we'll get to, and I completed the story mode several times. So I love this series, and when Free Radical died, I was really, and Haze, I was excited for that. Haze was a poor game. I don't quite know what happened, but I think it had real development issues, and maybe they were struggling with the next-gen hardware.
Right.
But Haze really wasn't a good game. So I bought that, and I was disappointed. And then Free Radical died. So.
And that was the day that the music died.
Yeah, and you'll hear a lot of people, including one of your friends, I believe, talking about Time Splitters with a lot of fondness. Because you just don't get games like this very often.
Which friend
one of your
that?
Friends? So one of your friends was talking about Time Splitters 2, and the level is, I think it's...
What was this, when we were at uni?
No, this was when I first talked about doing a Time Splitters game, and you mentioned it to one of your friends, and they talked about playing multiplayer and sniping on one of the ice levels in Time Splitters 2.
I can't remember.
Can't remember specifically, but
no.
Okay. We definitely had that conversation.
Got you. Okay, interesting.
So maybe that friend will reveal themselves.
Make themselves known.
After this episode. And yes. And yeah, we'll have a bit more clarity on that. Yes. So the plot of this game, do you want to give us a rundown of what's going on?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this game picks up at the end of Time Splitters 2.
Yes, it does.
So I'm not really in the know about the stuff beforehand. I didn't look into Time Splitters 2, but Future Perfect starts with the protagonist, a guy called Sergeant Cortez, who looks like the most generic early 2000s action hero.
Well, he's based on...
looks like Vin Diesel.
Yeah, well, that's what he's based on. He's based on Riddick.
Right, got you. That makes sense. But yeah, he's coming back through like a time portal after saving... I think he saved some time crystals from the end of the second game. Lands back on his base planet, which is under attack from these monsters called Time Splitters. You battle through to get back to your main base, where your captain introduces you to a lady called Anya, who's like your handler. And you're instructed to go back in time, as this is a time-traveling game, to track down the kind of where these time crystals came from and stop them from generating, basically. So the game is you're heading back through different time zones. So the first level, you go back to 1924 in Scotland, as mm-hmm. that is where it's kind of thought that the crystals have kind of come from initially. You don't find any crystals there, so you then find a scientist called... is it James Crow or Jack Crow?
I can't remember, but I know he goes by Crow, doesn't he?
Yeah, and like when I first saw it, I thought they called him Jim Crow. And I was like, you can't call him Jim Crow. But yeah, so you...
Jiminy Crow.
Yeah. So... you find out that this scientist has got something to do about it. So you then go from 1924 to 1969 in Russia, where you team up with a private investigator guy called Harry Tipper, who is trying to save his girlfriend Jacob Crow, there you go. But Harry Tipper is trying to save his girlfriend from this mad scientist who is in line with Jacob Crow. You just miss Crow again, so you then travel again to another time where you go to 1994, where you meet up with a character called Joe Beth, and it is
the haunting in Connecticut.
Yeah, it's in Connecticut, and it is the. It's just very typical of games from the early 2000s, where she's just like this girl wearing very little clothes and has a shirt on that just says slut.
Although it does, yeah, it's spoofing it, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, 100%. It's not doing it like as a, yeah, it's a spoof.
But yeah.
You then go through this haunted mansion in 94, where there are zombies and there have been these tests going on, where you find a younger version of Jacob Crow. Who then, the older version of Jacob Crow turns up and says, yeah, Grandpa Crow turns up and says, right, come with me. I'm going to show you the trip to eternal life. And they zap out. So you then go forward in time to 2051, I think it is, where you catch up with Crow again in this skyscraper. And you effectively create a time paradox because you're the one that reveals to the older version of Crow how the time travel stuff works.
Yeah.
And he then zooms forward to 2200 and something during something called the Robot Wars, which is not like the BBC Two show from the early 2000s with Craig Charles,
like
unfortunately.
Terminator.
Yeah, it's a bit like Terminator. Where you track down Crow and he's turned into this like slug machine man who's unlocked the...
Jabba the Hutt in robot form.
He's unlocked the key to eternal life, and you then go back again to 1924 because you work out that Scotland is the place where the time crystals are based, but not on the island itself. You work out that as you just zip away from the island at the end of that level, a submarine comes up and you have to take that down. You go into like this underwater city kind of, yeah. Which I watched a video on it. You've probably seen the same one where a guy says he's never played BioShock, but he imagines what BioShock looks like. And I kind of get where he's coming from with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you basically track down the time crystals, find out that there's been a plot to get you with these time assassins for the entire game. You go back, defeat Crow, go forward in time to the start of the game, and you defend yourself that you played as at the start of the game,
yeah,
from some time splitters, destroy the crystal, save the world, and that's the game.
Yeah, that's it. That was pretty pretty good.
Thank you very
detailed
much.
Detailed step-by-step of the plot.
Yes.
There's a lot of time jumping. There's a lot of probably things that don't make sense in terms of the time jumping, but it's just fun and light and entertaining. That's what it's supposed to be. If you think too hard about the time paradoxes and all that stuff, it's not going to make much sense. But, yeah, I don't think it's about that.
No, it's it's a very tongue-in-cheek game.
It is, and very much so.
There are,
I said to you, it's a bit like Austin Powers in a way.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, to be fair, I didn't really know what to expect from this game at all. Like, no idea what it was going to encompass because I bloody thought it was Time Crisis.
Yeah, I can see why.
And
you'd be confused.
Part of me, like the main character, Cortez, part of me, I'm like, oh, he's quite funny. He's quite charming. The other part of me, I'm like, he's quite annoying. But there are some quite funny moments in the game.
He's not meant to be...
not meant to be taken seriously at all. I mean,
no. Everyone's a joke.
Yeah, one of my favourite moments in the game is in the skyscraper level where you meet up with this lady assassin.
Yeah,
and they're waiting for a lift.
Yeah,
and Cortez has this this quip where he says, "Right, it's time to split," and he says that in front of this woman when the elevator comes up. She's like, "Oh, no, I'll just wait for the next elevator, please." And you see Cortez's face really confused as the doors close.
And then you get the next scene where he's just waiting for
her. Just waiting on a railing. It's got some funny moments in there,
and that is that old I mean, Perfect Dark had that humor as well.
It's like Conker's Bad Fur Day thing, isn't it?
It is. It's that British spoofy humor, and there are bits here that I find really funny, like when the older crow goes back to see the younger crow, and he says, "Grandpa?"
Yeah.
And he says, "No, it's me from the future, Grandpa."
Yeah, it's got some funny moments in there. It's very much like a very cheesy early noughties action sci-fi film.
It's just fun. It's just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is going to be a bit of a big question, really. And because we haven't covered Time Splitters 2,
yeah,
there's going to be a real leap. So I'm going to ask you, what has changed since Perfect Dark? In terms of what the game is, how it plays, the mission structure, that sort of thing.
To be honest with you, it's been so long since we played Perfect Dark, I can barely remember it. I think that there have been some improvements overall in the gameplay. And you can definitely tell that it's got links to Perfect Dark and GoldenEye with things like the snap-on aiming, the different guns that you can select, that kind of stuff. The level selects, Perfect Dark, if I remember correctly, it had like a little lobby, didn't it, that you could choose the levels from. Whereas, like in the HQ, you go up to a little computer. In terms of changes from Perfect Dark, I can barely remember it. I can tell you the changes from GoldenEye, but those would be quite a lot because that game came out in 96, didn't it?
Yeah.
So you're probably better off taking the lead on that one, I guess.
So obviously you've got the obvious things, graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely different franchise. Humour in that is intact. Still futuristic like Perfect Dark was. The big thing for me that's changed this time is the mission structure. Now,
it's very linear.
It's a lot more linear
which
game.
Which I like about it, to be fair.
It's a lot more linear game than even Time Splitters 2. Time Splitters 2 still has the mission objectives that are laid out at the beginning, and there may be some additional objectives that get thrown in as you're playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Time Splitters 2 still has the thing where on higher difficulties, you've got additional things to do, and there are parts of the levels in Time Splitters 2 that you will not see if you're playing it on easy difficulty. And I really like that game. That I really like that element in terms of the design. I think it's such a great thing in terms of difficulty to add these additional objectives, to have parts of the level that are kind of locked unless you play it on the normal difficulty, because it is something different from difficulty nowadays, which is, oh, the bullets do more damage, and that's your difficulty. Yeah. These games were organically more difficult because there was more to do. Mm-hmm. You had to make your life last longer. But Future Perfect takes that away. It's more linear.
Yeah.
Your objectives are updating constantly as you go along. And
get
more
from one
cinematic
place to the next and pick something up.
Yeah, it's a more cinematic experience. There very much is that set piece thing that you get in Call of Duty. You're going from a set piece to a set piece, and you're running the corridors between that. So that's, to me, the biggest change. But you've still got that huge emphasis on multiplayer. You've still got the variety of guns. You've still got that great... I've talked about it a few times over the course of the podcast. The juggling gameplay that you got with the shooting.
Yeah.
So, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, you shoot someone, you stagger them, and then you might shoot another enemy and stagger them.
Yeah.
But it's just punchy and quite different from the Call of Duty style, which is zoom in on someone's head, take them out. Here, you feel like you're actually hitting people and there's a weight to it. And Future Perfect, that's still intact. I think there are some elements around the gunplay that have been refined in terms of a bit more influenced by Halo, influenced by things like that. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you can do and that I did immediately You can change controls. Every control you want. Yeah.
I
made
well
it like
your,
a modern shooter.
Yeah, I did the same from your advice.
And it plays, I mean, it's quite surprising really how modern it feels, considering the Xbox version. So these games, we haven't covered where we played these games, but they released on Xbox One, Xbox Series, all those. They are the original games released, but I think there's some work been done on some of the textures and the assets to make them a bit sharper.
One of the things that I thought looked really good was when you're running and you've got a gun with a scope or like a gun with a little screen on it. If you actually look at the screen, it shows you what's in front of you without actually looking down the sights, which I thought was a really nice little touch.
Yeah. So when these games, because Free Radical was dead in the water, when these games released on the Xbox, it was a real surprise to everyone because it wasn't even clear who owned the rights to these games. I think Koch Media, K-O-C-H Media, owns the rights now, maybe. But I'm not entirely clear. So it was a real surprise that they were released in this way. They're still not available anywhere else except for old systems. I don't think you can buy them on PC or anything
like
that.
No, you
can't. I don't believe.
I did look.
So, so that's how it's changed from Perfect Dark. Let's talk about our ever-present feature, Gameplay is King. Is Time Splitters Future Perfect fun to play?
Yeah, to be honest with you, a lot of the games that we've done in this kind of post-top 100 list, I think they've been quite varied for both of us, haven't they? Because we discussed it a while ago that even though we've got a lot of kind of mutual thoughts on video games and things that we agree on, the games that we actually play and enjoy are quite different.
I think a lot of the ones that we share were covered in that original list.
Mm-hmm.
So what was left was those ones that don't fit. Yeah.
No, and I think that the games that you've chosen so far, some of them I've thought, it's okay. Others, like Alpha Protocol, I haven't really enjoyed.
You'd love that one.
That is, I'd rather play that than Resident Evil, whatever the bloody hell one that we played with that woman
Code
in it.
Veronica.
Oh God, that was bad.
I didn't like that either.
But
to be fair.
No, that wasn't good. But I really enjoyed this game. I thought it was really, really good. And I think probably because I thought it was a different game before playing
it.
I had zero expectations. But I thought it was really fun. I thought that it's a laugh. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It wasn't too long, which I really appreciated about it. Because at the moment, we're trying to juggle long games and short games.
It doesn't outstay its welcome, does it?
No, it doesn't. It ends where it needs to. Whereas a lot of games that come out nowadays, they do the bit where you go back to Scotland in 1924 and then it would be like, all right, but now you've got to go back to 1994 and actually you've got to go back to 2050 something. And it gets a bit too long. I think you mentioned it with the Final Fantasy VII Remake game. It could have ended about 3 hours before it actually did. So it's just the right amount of length. It's very fun and I really enjoyed it. So yes, the answer to your question is it fun? Is yes, it is. I'm guessing you probably think the same.
Yeah, it's a blast. I played this with my fiance, Becca, and she really enjoyed it as well. And she liked the Cortez character. So when we play Time Splitters 2, where Cortez kind of becomes different characters in each level, she missed Cortez.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think it's a blast and really fun to play.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's a good time.
Do you have a favourite weapon that you like to use?
I would say probably the pulse rifle that you can use in the 2050s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the closest you get to just like a standard machine gun. And although I didn't really enjoy that level, I think that was probably the best weapon Maybe the flamethrower is up there.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't really get to use it on many enemies. And the other one would be the revolver. But again, you don't really get to use it that much. But yeah, so those, probably the pulse rifle being the top one. What about you?
I'd actually go for the revolver for that, for those 1994 levels. There's two of them. I was reverting to that more than the shotgun. So I just kept getting the ammo for that and going for headshots with the revolver. It's very weighty and punchy, and shooting zombies' heads off with the revolver, it will never not be satisfying.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm going to go for that. Plain and simple, revolver. They've always done, this team has always done those sorts of guns very well.
Yeah.
Okay. Favourite levels. Any favourite level that you've got?
I think probably Scotland.
Okay.
I enjoyed. I didn't mind Russia. I think a lot of my issues with the levels, I think there are more levels that I disliked more than I liked, but I still enjoyed the game, which I suppose is a testament to the gameplay.
Yes.
But I'd say Scotland, Russia was all right at times. I liked being on the train. I thought that was quite cool. And maybe some elements of the skyscraper in 2050, even though I've just said it wasn't like my favourite. But those are probably the ones that I'd go with, maybe. What about you?
I think the first half of the game is stronger than the second half.
Yeah, it is.
You've got a lot of variety, a lot of time jumping. So you go straight from the first level, which is quite futuristic, to Scotland, which is really not futuristic. And then you jump from there to Russia, as you say, which is sort of Cold War spy era. Onto the train, then onto the haunted mansion and the underground lair beneath it, and then the level on top of the skyscraper. And then that's where, for me, the levels take a bit of a downturn. So my favourite level is Scotland as well. I think that Scotland level and that soundtrack for that Scotland level are brilliant. You've got... And this is probably partly nostalgia, because this is the level where we were really messing around, me and my friend, back then with the vehicles and the gravity gun. And there's a lot of parts to the Scotland level. You start outside.
That was something I didn't use much at all, the gravity gun, to be fair. I use it, I think, twice.
You can use it to like just throw things at people if you want, and throw explosive barrels. And
which is where the Half-Life comparison comes in, I think.
Yeah, and the gravity gun was introduced after, as it wasn't in Time Splitters 2, so it was new for this game as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would agree, Scotland, but I'd also give a nod to the Mansion of Madness. I just think that's a really good horror level, and you've got a poltergeist there, and again, quite a good linear run-through where you're going from room to room, place to place, and quite different gameplay focused on shooting zombies. So yeah, there's a good atmosphere in that level. What about your least favorite level?
The Haunted Mansion 1994.
Okay.
It annoyed me. I think the primary weapon that you're using in that level is the double barrel shotgun.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting headshots on the zombies, then you're wasting your ammo effectively.
Yeah.
And I found it quite easy to, like, when you're in the lift with the poltergeist, not the lift, sorry, the loft, the attic with the poltergeist, it can get quite overwhelming to something. Like, it didn't get like problematic levels, but I just didn't really enjoy that. And the whole underground lab, just, I didn't enjoy that level at all. And I also found the boss fight in that level, that massive creature thing, to be irritating. Yeah. So I'll probably say that. And then probably the Robot Wars level in 2200 and something. I didn't think that level was particularly great either. But yeah, the Haunted Mansion overall, I didn't really enjoy. What's your least favourite?
My least favourite is probably the level called Something to Crow About, which is the one where you use the electro tool to take down shields. And
It's
quite futuristic, but quite generic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have much to add, but that's probably the level where the downturn starts for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing you didn't have a chance to play the multiplayer. Did you have any footage, look at any footage of the multiplayer or anything like that?
I didn't, no. I don't know anything about the multiplayer other than you unlock characters as you go through the story mode.
So basically, it's the multiplayer you know and love from the Rare games, except that you've got an absolute ton of characters. Now, obviously, your characters aren't your famous James Bond heroes and villains or anything like that. They're all original. One thing I think the TimeSplitters series does really well is create these really quite unique characters that actually, when you play the multiplayer, you want to play as.
Yeah.
And there's loads of them. There are an absolute bunch of characters. You unlock them from playing the single player, from playing the challenge mode, and you can play as about 5-6 different types of monkey, which is always fun. And you've got loads of levels completely different from the levels that you're playing at.
That's probably why I didn't get the monkey reference when you were talking about the four fat chicks, because is that just multiplayer?
Multiplayer and in the challenge mode. You've got zombie monkeys. Yeah.
Got you. That's why I didn't understand it.
There's a huge amount of monkeys in this game. They are right. So, yeah, you've got a bunch of levels. And there's levels where you can use vehicles. All the levels are quite different. And you can put in bots in the levels. You've got so many different game mode types. There's a game mode called Virus where someone starts off on fire and it's basically like tag and they have to touch people and then they're on fire. And then the last person that's not on fire is the winner of the game. So it's really not your standard deathmatch stuff. And they again put their unique spin on everything. It's a really fantastic multiplayer game. And there's not really much like it. I think multiplayer games have tended to go down the route of things like Call of Duty.
Yes.
But this is so not that. It's deathmatch glory, but with that quirky British spin on it.
Yeah, it's a classic couch co-op game, isn't it, really? Like the Halo it games. Is. Like the old Rare games, you know, it's of that ilk.
And the co-op as well gets a real tip of the hat for me. So, co-op was in TimeSplitters 1. Co-op was in Perfect Dark as well. And did we play co-op on Perfect Dark? I can't remember. No, I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
No.
I think the only games that we've played co-op on is Halo.
Yeah. Yeah, so this one it wasn't really possible to do because the online doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's couch co-op and it's just great fun. And some of those frustrating sections are a lot more enjoyable with two people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more strategizing. Oh, okay, you need armor. Okay, you pick up that armor. Oh, do you need ammo? You pick up that ammo. And yeah it's a lot more step by step, and there's some strategizing to it. And it really is a blast to play in co-op.
Yeah.
Now, there's also a map maker feature in there, and it's really quite detailed. So you've got different themes. You've got like a horror theme, you've got industrial theme, and a few other themes as well in there. And you can create your maps. You have a certain amount of space. It's a bit like the old create a skate park in the Tony Hawk games. And
yes.
You can attach rooms to each other. You can add weather effects. You can put the time of day, that sort of thing, what the sky looks like. And you can actually put in spawn points for enemies, objectives, story beats. The only limitation to this story mode is the themes that you've got. You've got only the four or five themes, but they're still good. But you could create some really unique original levels, and you can actually create a lot of the original TimeSplitters game within this. Yeah, it's where you've got the theme, at least you can do that style of game, and it's a good map maker feature that came from TimeSplitters 2. It might have been in Timesplitters 1 as well, but yeah, it's definitely in Timesplitters 2.
Interesting.
And the challenge mode is, again, great fun. So you've got... I was doing one of the challenges the other day just to remind myself what they're like.
Yeah.
You've got one where you're... And they've even got their own story beats to them, so you'll get a little description of what's going on. So you've got a mad doctor who's been experimenting on monkeys, and they've turned into zombies. So now he has to behead them in order to stop them from being around, basically. So you're right. In a horror hotel, which is one of the multiplayer maps. You're in a certain amount of space, and you've got your shotgun. That's it. And it's how many rounds you can last with those monkeys to get a gold medal. There's things like cat racing. So there's a
yeah,
cat.
Yeah, I remember taking control of the cat in the train level.
So in the challenge mode, there's cat racing that you can do. There's also, what do they call it? The Olympic sport where you've got, it's a bit like bowls, but on ice.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so you're trying to knock... So you've got the points area. You're trying to knock the other things. What on earth is it called? Is it like table hockey or something? But
no, you've got the person in front of it. You've got the person in front of it, like, sweeping.
Yeah, yeah, that's you? It. That's the one, yeah. I can't remember what it's called, though.
It is called curling.
Curling, that's it. So you've got a curling challenges in there, and again, you've got a real variety, and it's just really off the wall stuff that's original and quite funny. Yeah. And once you do these things, you unlock characters for that massive database of characters. So this was a real content fest when it came out, and it still is. Yes, the single player isn't hugely long, but there's a lot here. I was playing this game for months and months and months when it came out. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the visuals. How do you think this game has aged in terms of visuals?
I think it looks like an early 2000s game.
Yeah.
It's definitely been upscaled to play on Xbox Series X, which is good. I think it looks very good for its age. And like I said, there are features in it that I think are really nice, like the view through the scopes and stuff when you're not aiming down the sights. I think it just looks like an early 2000s game, really. Nothing really to write home about. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look particularly great. It just looks standard for that time, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing that Perfect Dark really was a tour de force for the N64 in terms of what... I mean, it didn't run very well, but in terms of the visuals themselves, it really was pushing that system hard. GoldenEye and the Timesplitters games are not that necessarily, but they're more focused on getting that performance right. Oh, sorry, GoldenEye is definitely not focused on that, but Timesplitters runs very smoothly, and I think that was their objective.
Their aim.
I'm pretty sure these games run at 60 frames per second at all times, whether it's co-op, whether it's single player, whether you're playing multiplayer. And that was the priority over visuals. And that's why this game feels very good to play. But yeah, I think it's aged fine. I mean, it's got its own distinct art style. It's quite chunky. And
yes, it is.
Yeah, it's quirky in quite a nice way. But yeah, it's Not groundbreaking or anything, but yeah, it looks nice enough.
Yeah.
And what about the audio?
When you mentioned earlier that the music on the Scotland level, to be honest with you, the audio didn't really stick out to me, the music. I think the voice acting for what it is very good. It's very on the nose, tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
and it
British.
Fits the game very well. Yeah, British humour. But as for the music, I can't say I have an opinion on it because I can't think of any of the music from it. There was nothing memorable in there for me. But there was nothing in there that I was like, oh, I don't like this. You know, it came and it went for me, I think, the soundtrack.
That Scotland level.
Better things to say.
Well, that Scotland level is really the standout piece for me. I think it's a really great piece of music. Time Splitters 2 does music better. There are huge number of fantastic pieces of music within Time Splitters 2. Siberia, Chicago, and the Wild West level is something else in terms of its music. It really carries on, again, that lineage of GoldenEye and Perfect Dark in terms of the music. There's a bit of a downturn here, I'll agree. Scotland being the highlight. But there's still a lot of great music in here. So in your multiplayer levels, you've got a lot of the great older Time Splitters music that's making a reappearance. There's the Chinese restaurant, which is just great. So a lot of that stuff is still in there in the map maker mode and in the multiplayer. So it does have a great soundtrack, but maybe you have to go out of your way a bit to find that.
Yeah, possibly.
And in the levels it's themselves, I'd agree that most of them, not quite up to the standards set by those other games, but that Scotland the Brave is really good music. Okay. Question of the week. Now, at one point after Haze was released, Time Splitters 4 was talked about. And it was in the works. They were developing it. There's even a bit of gameplay footage out there, and I think it's been released on the internet, this demo that they had. If Time Splitters was to make a resurgence today, and it still has a very avid fan base, and I think a lot of people were pleasantly surprised when it came to Xbox, what do you think that would look like in the modern day? How would you bring it into the modern day?
I don't really know, to be honest. I think that what Time Splitters could potentially look like will rely very much on what the new Fable comes out and looks like.
Okay.
Because Fable has got very heavy ties to kind of British comedy and British performers, doesn't it? And the new Fable was, you know, revealed a few years ago, and I don't think it's come out yet, to my knowledge. But I would say that whatever Fable does when that comes out, you could expect something relatively similar. Not in terms of gameplay, obviously, because Fable's a third-person action-adventure and Time Splitters is a first-person shooter. But I think that what Fable looks like when it comes out would tell you a lot about what a new Time Splitters would look like, because they're both games. Granted, Fable 3 came out a lot more recently than Time Splitters Future Perfect did. I think Fable 3 came out in 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a link there with kind of the fan base, the cult status of those series, and the general development and background of those games with quite British ties. I think that one would be somewhat similar to the other in terms of release. I think that you could make a Time Splitters 4 game now, but it wouldn't be of the same kind of ilk and vibe as Future Perfect. They'd need to, bring it up to date with current audiences, despite it still having its fans from, 10, 15 years ago. I think.
And what's changed about the audiences?
People have changed, haven't they? It's like, we mentioned it a while ago. I think in one of the GTA games, what Trey Parker and Matt Stone said, the South Park creators, is that parody and what's the other word I'm looking for? Satire has changed so much now that everything is satire and everything is parody. So how do you make that work in the current landscape when you've got, everything that's going on in the world, things that you think that's absolutely crazy, that would never happen, and those things are happening every day? I think audiences' tastes in terms of that kind of comedy has changed. I don't think that if Austin Powers came out in 2024, it would be the same reaction that it got when it came out in the early 2000s. But on the flip side, and playing devil's advocate to myself, you've got the second Borat film that came out in 2019 or 2020, I think, that was a huge success.
Was it?
And you think, yeah, maybe huge success is over-egging it a little bit, but it was
I never saw it. Obviously, I saw the original, but...
Yeah, I've not seen the second one either, but nor me. I kind of struggle watching those films now. They make me cringe a little bit.
Like, yeah, well, that's it.
I find it a bit uncomfortable. But maybe you would be able to do something with it. I don't know, but I think that it would need to be like modernized to some extent, or the comedy would need to change a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. I think...
What do you think?
Games have become more serious. For better or worse, that's what they've become. Future Perfect is a silly game. It's really through and through quite a silly game. And it's charming because of that. Time Splitters 2 is actually more serious than Future Perfect. Time Splitters 2 has less humour. But it does have that... number one, still very British. Number two...
There is
definitely humour in there, but it's not, it doesn't bleed through the experience in the same way as in Future Perfect, and a big part of that is because although there is a story in Time Splitters 2, it's not the same as the story in. So what I mean is there's a story in Time Splitters 2, but it's not as present. And I think they got to Future Perfect and they thought, well, other games are doing stories, so we need to put more emphasis on this story. And then they went down the route that they went down. Whereas in Time Splitters 2, you get a cutscene at the beginning, you get a cutscene at the end. You don't get cutscenes really in the middle of the level. And it's more like Perfect Dark and Goldeneye in that way, and that's it. And you come to the end of the game and it's hard to say really what the story was, because whereas your nice detailed description of what the story is here, you wouldn't necessarily be able to do that with Time Splitters 2. So I actually think if they took the best traits of both games, if they took some of that more serious nature of Time Splitters 2, but retain some of the silliness, but also keep the story, because actually I quite like the story edition here. You could be onto a winner. They need to keep it British. They need to keep a bit of the silliness, but lean into more of what Time Splitters 2 was. It won't necessarily be the game that is for everyone. It's not going to be topping Call of Duty, but it will have an audience. I believe that. In terms of the gunplay, I really wouldn't change much. That juggling still works. Obviously, you modernize your controls, but having that juggling between when you stagger your enemies, that still works. One word or phrase to describe Time Splitters Future Perfect.
Please. Lively.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I think lively. What's yours?
I am going to pick a phrase, and the phrase that I'm going to pick is pure fun. That's how I describe the experience.
Quick question on the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Can you unlock Mr. Blobby?
As a
playable character?
Yeah. Given the British lineage,
they
did get the rights to Mr. Blobby. And of course, playing Virus in the Noel's House Party level with Mr. Blobby starting on fire with the virus. It's the stuff of nightmares. Really is.
It is. I can't imagine it. I wouldn't want to put myself through that.
Okay. Does Time Splitters Future Perfect deserve to be on the list?
No, I don't think so. I think it's very good. I think it's very fun. And it's definitely got its place somewhere. I wouldn't put it in the top 100 games of all time, but it was a good time. I enjoyed it. I think that it's got a lot to offer, and I think it's one of those games that you can just enjoy without having to get too caught up in a story or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So probably for me, not in the top 100, but I think that it is a game that people should give a go to because it is a laugh. Do you think it should be in the top 100? I think that you're going to say no, despite it being your game and despite you liking it a lot. I might be wrong, but...
Replaying Time Splitters 2, I really believe that game does deserve to be in the top 100. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And it's the Time Splitters game that sold the most. It's right. The Time Splitters game that people have the fondest memories of.
Mm-hmm.
And it bridges that gap between Perfect Dark and Future Perfect.
Yeah.
If Time Splitters 2 didn't exist, I'd say that Future Perfect should be there. But right. I think the assessment I came to was maybe I picked the wrong Time Splitters to go on this initial 15. And as I said, I think I'm going to put Time Splitters 2 on the second lot of 15.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah. That's where I stand on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Time Splitters 2 certainly deserves to be there just as much as your Perfect Darks and your Golden Eyes.
Right. Well, here's a question for you then. If Time Splitters 2 was in the top 100 list, and obviously you've got Perfect Dark and Golden Eye in there as well, which one mm-hmm. would you keep if you had to get rid of two of them? There is a correct answer here, despite me not having played Time Splitters 2.
If I were to get rid of one, only one, I'd get rid of Perfect Dark.
No, you have to get rid of two. So only one of them can remain.
It's hard,
though,
because GoldenEye is the start.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would prefer to play Time Splitters 2 any day over GoldenEye.
Okay.
So I'd probably have to give GoldenEye the boot.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it really is an evolution on those games for me. And anyone that's played Time Splitters 2, you know what I'm talking about. However, in a way, to kind of act as devil's advocate to myself, in a way, I think I picked the right game because it is the more accessible game. And the fact that you came away enjoying it so much shows that it was the right pick for this moment in time. So for that reason, we'll carry on as is. And second lot of 15, Time Splitters 2. Okay.
Very good.
So we made a last minute decision before we started recording what the next game will be. And it's a game that I'm bloody dreading.
Yes, it is. I've got a couple of short games left in my selection and I've got a couple of longer games left. And we wanted to go for a shorter one next because Vampire Masquerade is going to be a long one.
That's coming next for me, so that's a bit of a longer one.
So we are going to be playing next time Cuphead. We've mentioned it quite a few times over the past kind of 6-7 months. Dan's not looking forward to it because he knows how hard it is and how irritating it is. Have you ever played it before?
I played it with you. I said before, you? I'm pretty good at 3D games, but I'm not very good at side scrollers. I don't think I am. I mean, I completed quite a few, and I did some that, like Crash Bandicoot, that I really wasn't sure if I'd be able to complete. I don't think I'm very particularly good at side scrollers. I'm probably okay. So I think I'm going to struggle with this.
That's fine. I'm going to struggle as well. It's a bloody hard game. So yeah, that'll be next time. And I suppose the bit of advice I'd give you beforehand is
don't throw your Switch out of a window.
Don't throw your Switch out of a window as well. Don't do that.
Because I will probably be playing it on Switch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you feel about it. So, yes, but that'll be next week. I'd say we'll see if we can push for a release this coming Thursday, but I don't think we'll be able to because it's a short game, but... it isn't that short, but we'll see. If not, it'll be the week after.
I am also all over the place again this week.
Yes, so we'll see. But yeah, as always, if you want to get in touch with us, we've got an email address, thelongandshortofitpodcast@hotmail.com. We're on social media as well. And yeah, if you've enjoyed this, give it a rating, give it a follow if you're not already following us, or send it to someone that you think might enjoy it. But yes, it will be Cuphead next time.
And if you are that person that is your friend who liked Time Splitters, identify yourself.
Yes, identify yourself. And maybe I can give an update on that next time. We'll see.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
But yes, that is everything from me. Is there anything else from you for today?
No, that's it from me.
Very good. Well, we'll see you next time for Cuphead. And in the meantime, take care. Cheerio.
See you on the next one.